On a flight to New York several years ago, I was sitting on the left side of the aircraft in an aisle seat. And it had been a terrible day. The wind was blowing, the rain was coming down, and we got onto the aircraft and we were pushed back from the terminal, and you could feel the plane shimmying from the wind and from the rain, and you just knew it was going to be terrible. And we taxied out and got into line. It was a very long line of aircraft waiting to take off, and it took forever to get all the way up to the front. The captain turned the aircraft onto the runway, and then we sat there. Now, there are two kinds of pilots, and you can tell the kind by what they do. If your pilot starts rolling slowly and picks up speed and gets faster and faster until suddenly, gently, you take off into the air and soar off into the sky. And then if the same pilot brings you into an airport and you come in very carefully and you land so softly you can barely feel it, you have an Air Force pilot. But if you're sitting there on the runway and you feel suddenly your back shoved into the chair and you're hanging on for dear life as you're picking up speed really fast and then you take off really steep, and then that same pilot brings you in and comes in for a landing really harsh and you bam so hard that you bounce and you think the landing gear is broken, you have a Navy aviator on your hands. We had a Navy aviator, friends. He took off and we were pressed back into our seats by the acceleration, by the G-force, and we're hanging on as we're accelerating down the runway, and I'm starting to get nervous. Because the wind is blowing, the rain is blowing, the plane is shimmying back and forth and bouncing really hard, and we're not taking off. So I'm nervous and afraid, and what I normally do when I'm nervous and afraid is I try to remind myself that God's with me. And what I do in those moments is I usually make the sign of the cross to remind myself that I'm in the presence of Almighty God. And then, because I was really afraid, I then reached out in the middle of the aisle and made the sign of the cross over the airplane. And just as I finished making the sign of the cross, the pilot pulled the nose up and we were airborne, rocketing into the sky and through the clouds and on up into the blue above the storm, where it was a beautiful day, the winds were calm, the sky was blue, the sun was bright, the clouds beneath were amazingly beautiful, like pillows, and we smoothly flew. The pilot turned off the fasten seatbelt sign. Of course, he said, if you're sitting, then, you know, make sure you have it attached, but otherwise, you can get a move around the aircraft. Of course, watch out for food service. Ha ha, what food? Anyway, I'm sitting there reading my book and enjoying the flight. And I feel someone tap me on the shoulder. I look up, and there's this lady standing there looking down at me. And she said, I wanted to thank you. Well, really? What for? In that moment when it didn't feel like we were going to take off, I was really scared. And then you made the sign of the cross over the airplane. And I wasn't scared anymore. You reminded me that God was with us, and no matter what happened, God would be with us. That is so true. God is with us no matter what happens. Good, bad, in between. God is with us. Bad things can happen, good things can happen, indifferent things can happen. It can be difficult, it can be wonderful. It doesn't matter. God is with us. Whatever we face with God. I made the sign of the cross not for her. I didn't even know who she was. She was sitting back about three or four rows on the right. I didn't know who she was. I'd never met her. I probably saw her as she came on the aircraft, but I don't remember her. I made the sign of the cross over myself and over the aircraft not for her, but for me. I needed to be reminded. I needed to remind myself. I needed to be reminded that God was with us. and I didn't have anything to fear. In other words, in being a light of God's love to myself, I ended up being a light of God's love to someone whom I did not know. And that's the way it usually is. We are the light of the world. And I think it's important to hear that passage read clearly, not you will be the light of the world, or you might be the light of the world, or you're going to become the light of the world, or may you be the light of the world, or not even a question, are you the light of the world? No, but you are the light of the world. It's a statement of fact, not of hope, not of possibility. It's a statement of fact. You are the light of the world. Now, there are many things that can cause us trouble in being the light of the world. Usually it's ourselves. I was driving out during the middle of the ice storm. It was Tuesday afternoon. I was having to run some errands. And it was terrible. The streets were horrible. There really weren't that many grooves that you could drive in yet. It was that early. And here I am inching along at 20 miles per hour. And I notice there's this pickup truck coming up from behind. Not coming up, barreling up from behind. And he comes swerving around me, honking his horn, zooming by me at the posted speed limit, but on ice. And I thought to myself, I hope he has an accident. And then he slammed on his brakes and did. He spun out, spun around, and hit a telephone pole. Wham! And I went, yeah. Some light of the world, Reverend Neil. Some light of the world you are, you hypocrite. No. But that's what we do. That's the initial response. This idiot goes flying by. Yeah, we want him to have an accident. But that's not the light of the world. I didn't even do what I should have done next, which is go by, stop, and help. I drove by slowly at 20 miles an hour and waved and laughed. Oh, I just took my light and hid it under a bushel basket. I just took the light of God's love. I just took the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I just took the calling that I have to be a light to the world and hid it under the bushel basket. It was fun, too. That's what we do. We do it to ourselves. We stumble this way frequently and hide the light of God's love. When he went zooming by me, I should have been thinking, I pray he doesn't have an accident. Not I hope he has one. And then I should have stopped. And instead of laughing, I should have stopped and helped if I could. But I hid my light under the bushel basket. That's what the world wants us to do. The world wants us to hide our light under the bushel basket. The world wants us to put it out, to blow it out, or to hide it over in the corner. It's okay to have your light in your sanctuary. It's okay to have your light at home, but don't bring your light out into the world. Don't bring your light out into church, out of your church and into school. Don't bring your light out of church and into your workplace. Don't bring your light out of church and into your retail area. Don't bring your light out of church where we can see it. We want freedom, not of religion, but freedom from religion. That's what the world says. That's what the world would have us do. What happens when you take your light and you put it under the bushel basket? What happens? Well, two things happens, actually. Firstly, if you got a regular little lamp or a little light and you put it under a bushel basket, that basket's pretty big. And it's big enough that there's room between the top of the flame and the basket that all it's going to do is eat up the air inside and put the light, the flame, out. It'll kill it. If you've got a bright light, sometimes, if the light is burning brightly and hot, it can burn up the bushel basket. In other words, if you are alive with the light of Christ and you try to cover it up, you'll fail. But usually our light is somewhat anemic, flickering. It's there, but it struggles. The winds blow on it, and it just fights to stay alive and hang on to the end of the wick. It's tenuous at best, and when you put anything over it, not only does it block the light, but it smothers it out. Most of us are in that situation. Most of us are afraid of letting that light shine, of carrying it out into the world, letting people see it, letting people experience it. But that's what we are called to do. That's who we are. Jesus said it. You are the light of the world. Not you're gonna be, not you should be, not let's be, not even a question, are you the light of the world? No, you are the light of the world. That means we are to be shining it, putting it on the lampstand and letting the world see, being the city on the hill that the world cannot miss. The world looks at us and sees hypocrites, just like I was earlier this week. The world looks at us and sees a bunch of hypocrites. What we say doesn't match what we do. Our creed doesn't match our deed. That's one of the problems the church has. We will say good words. We will do good things. And sometimes they don't match up. We will say good words, we will fail to act. We will say good words, but we'll do something different. That's usually what happens. We'll say good things and do bad things. You are the light of the world. How do we accomplish that? How do we live that? We live that by speech, speaking the light of God's love. We live that by acting. Acting upon the light of God's love, by reaching out, by being the light of Christ, by sharing a cup of water, by feeding the hungry and clothing the naked, all of those things that are obvious, by allowing the grace of God to so empower our faith that we act upon it, and the good works that flow from God through us, and the world sees those good works and says not, oh, you're wonderful, but what a wonderful God you serve. That's where we can often get ourselves into trouble. We'll do those good works so that people will look at you and say, ha, ha, wow, you're wonderful. No. No, the objective here is to live your life of faith, leaning on God's grace and allowing Christ Jesus to work through us and become through us good works for others, where we become Christ's hands and feet, eyes and ears and lips. You've heard me say that again and again and again. And that's what we mean. Where we act in faith and allow God to use us for others. Sadly, the church frequently may say good things, but the deed doesn't match up. We're called to be the light of the world. We are the light of the world. Let's not hide that light under a bushel basket. Let's set that light on the lampstand and allow all to see it. To see the love of God through us. To see and know that there is a God, a creator, who calls all, who loves all. One of the problems in the church is there are elements in the church where the speech that comes out is not good. There are groups that says God hates you. Whatever group you may want to think of. God hates blacks. God hates fags. God hates whatever. Those who play tiddlywinks. I don't care. God doesn't hate people. No. We're called to proclaim the good news. God loves you. and then to act, showing that love, the love of God for all, so that our creed matches our deed. And when we do that, our light is shining. When we do that, the light isn't under the bushel basket, being snuffed out. When we do that, it's blazing bright, and we can't even squeeze it under the bushel basket. Let's put our light on the lampstand and allow others to see it. Let's put our light on the lampstand and shine brightly for the love of God. The love of God proclaimed for all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
You've been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2011 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.